January 17, 2018, it's a Watt from Phaedro show. Walk for Pedro show, Brother Matt. How are you? Glad to see you.
Good. Again. Nice to be back in action.
Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. We got a visitor.
Yeah, Jack is in the house.
Spent a lot of time on the other side of that bridge, or both of those bridges, on the other side of our harbor. But he's in Pedro now.
Jack, yeah, the directions went out. All roads lead to Pedro. He made it without the GPS unit.
It's been all over this place. It's nice. It's trippy coming over here. Yeah.
And we were talking about our Navy connections because both me and Jack grew up Navy. And so he's lived in different places. I lived in different places. He did start in California, though, but a little more north of here. And ended up here. But a sister from Virginia like me.
Right.
He's got a daughter in the Merchant Marine now. Mm-hmm. Went to school up there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's
I tried to join. Like, I went through a little stretch where I don't want to join the Navy.
You tried?
I tried, and they called my dad. My dad goes, nah. And, you know, he's doing something. He's up to something. The guy goes, we'll straighten him out. And my dad was like, well, no. And he goes, no, you're not going to straighten him out. It's not going to happen.
T-Boone had bad eyes. You know, those... He wore contacts, you didn't know, but when he wore these guys, they were like Coke bottles. Mm. Really thick. So
I had nothing wrong with me except for mental condition. Yeah. My mental
condition. Before well, his ma dies the year we graduate high school. She's a pillar in the family, so he didn't know what to do. And we all didn't know what to do. And that was his one. And luckily, they didn't take him, and we did Minutemen instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a whole different history.
Yeah, would have been a way... Much different, huh?
Why I think, you know, it's true. Yeah. Sorry, it's trippy about that because that was my reason too. There was something going on. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to get straightened up. I'm going to do this for some cause or whatever. It's like, why do you always think that's the cause?
He told me he wanted to be a corpsman.
Oh.
So I'm like, kind of doctor guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he never seemed to be into the killing thing, but he did like history. So I could see that connect. Mm. Mr. Carg, you know, that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Old Pedro High. A history teacher me and D. Boone had, Brother Matt, in fact, four of my teachers, but one was a history one, Mr. Card, and he got us in the, he said, when I graduated high school, I got a Volkswagen, and I saw the whole country. So when we started touring, we were like, hey, this is what Mr. Card said to do.
Yeah, that's great. I do that with my guys. I get it wherever we go. Like, if I got a chance, I'll say, okay, we're going to go to this battlefield. We're going to go here. We're going to go visit this factory. We're going to go, you know, it's like...
The Bob Wire Museum. The Fly Fishing Museum.
Yeah, and the show just happens to be something you got to do at night. well, we're going to do this, and at night we're going to end up out here. Yeah.
For the chow and some expression. Look, can I ask you, your oldest musical memory that you got now?
Well, probably my grandmother. I had a grandmother with perfect pitch. And she used to sing.
She made her singing.
Yeah, and she just sang. She'd sit. She had an old organ in the back of her house. She had perfect pitch. And she'd sit there and she had her organ and she was loud, like me. Loud and clear. Really loud and clear. And
enunciated.
Yeah, and she'd just hear something and then she'd just start jamming on it. She'd have a little organ and she was a little thing. And I used to remember sitting there listening to her play the organ. And
was a lady across the street from my ma's pad that played organ for fun. Just wailing on it. Yeah. Not a singer. Your grandma did both. So that's your... But in the pad, is there anybody playing instruments?
Well, everybody in the family plays.
Wow.
Yeah, my... Okay. Well, the kids. Like, and they're good. I'm just an entertainer. I tell people, I'm not really a musician. You know, it's like Petra and I were talking about it. It's like, I'm an entertainer is what I am, right? And, but my sister's got an unbelievable voice. She's great. So is my brother. My brother's one of those guys, he can look at a strange instrument and go, oh, what's this? Oh, here's how it works. And then a couple seconds later, he's getting a great tune. It's like the John Lennon thing. You know, you get a great tune out of anything, you know.
Yeah,
and he was there like that. Okay. I just happen to have charisma, whatever the hell I got.
What was there, guitars? Was it pianos?
Piano. Always a piano. Always playing piano. And I played cello a little bit when I was a kid. I played the cello and...
School?
In school, in school, just a bit.
No, cello's intense. But the range is huge, but the way you play in between the legs.
But I never, and then I'd sit, you know, I had a sister, older sister and brother, they were hippies, they were hardcore hippies. So so I got into the Mothers of Invention.
Oh, they got the records.
Oh, yeah, I just sit around and listen to it.
What about your first album? What was the first record
for the money. We're only in it for the money. I'd listen to it every day. I can still sit there and just, you know, riff lyrics out of that over and over, every song on that. And,
it's a good
and then Stevie Wonder was the first record I bought. I bought a Stevie Wonder single.
Okay.
Just dug it. For me, it's always been like soul stuff. Like, I always, you know, I guess soul stuff where I'm talking about like really sweet soul stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the Delphonics, the Stylistics, the, you know, that stuff I listen to. You know? Mm-hmm. I love Curtis Mayfield. I saw Curtis play in Long Beach.
You were at that gig?
I was at that gig, yeah.
That's the last gig he does as a whole man.
That's right.
Because he flies to Brooklyn. He was doing a tour of City Halls. Free gigs outside.
Free gigs outside.
And yeah. He flies to Brooklyn after playing for us in Long Beach. And a wind blows the lights and it falls on his head and paralyzes him from the neck down.
Right. And I saw the show. I was in Long Beach. I drove my friends down there. And they're like, what are you talking, Curtis Mayfield? I go, come on, man. We're going, right? And I drug them down there. It was so badass because they were doing the call and response with the whole crowd. You know, say, hey. And then the crowd, hey. And the crowd's... You know, it's Long Beach, so it's just stacked, man. And it was a...
There's a little park out. It's when they built the new City Hall. Mm-hmm. They had, like, a park around.
The promenade. And now it's gone.
That's right.
They took the promenade, got gone, but it was...
But that's where he played on the promenade. Where he played ain't anymore. It was buildings now.
And little on the mic. Like, I was watching him. Right, he was so quiet. You know, he'd get his mouth right on the mic, and he was so quiet. He wasn't like wailing. He was just like real quiet and using the mic, and he'd get real close to it. No.
Well, that falsetto.
Yeah, loved him.
Intense.
Yeah.
Also, you know, his guitar play. He tuned to the black keys on a piano. It was very strange. And he played with no pick, southpaw guy, and he didn't get to teach people. He didn't know that light was going to come down.
Right.
It's kind of fucked up.
And a trippy band.
A lot of F sharps in the tuning. Mm-hmm. I found it. Nils Klein found it somewhere. But he was original guy in a lot, so many levels. Yeah. Had his own label really early.
Yeah.
Like 19 years old in Chicago or something. Yeah. Curtis Mayfield was an incredible cat.
Yeah.
Incredible cat. Okay. I forgot to say, we opened up the show with John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk doing Tinkle Tinkle. This is an important period, right? For 9 months. Plays with Monk. He's in Miles Davis's quintet, right? And after the gig backstage, Monk's there, and Miles is pissed at Trent because he nodded on the stage again and was eating his boogers and shit, you know. So he socks him. And Monk said, man, you shouldn't have done that, Miles. He said, Trent, you come play with me. And this is 1957, huh? That's when John Coltrane quits the shit. Goes up into that pad on 30th Street, 3rd Street in Philadelphia for 2 weeks. You know, the turkey thing. And that's what Love Supreme's about. But after the 9 months, he goes back to Miles' quintet, does a couple of those records, those Moto ones. And then it's time I can start my own band. Not only gets 10 years, but at least they wear junk 10 years.
Yeah.
And Richard Meltzer told me what's so intense about that. Because everybody's looking up to Bird. Getting fucked up, and then, to be like him, I gotta be wasted. And he said, what Train said to everybody else in the scene, you can quit and get better. Richard Meltzer told me, kick dope out of the temple. Right. So, this is an important period, this little thing. There's a Carnegie Hall gig, there's a couple recordings, there's not a lot. I got an interview with John Coltrane, where they ask about, I think it's Augusta Bloom, it's like the year after he quits his shit, 58. He says, you know, when you do the solo, Monk would get up and start dancing. And he says, well, I don't know, I've been busy playing. I didn't look at it. But I could feel it. And he said, would say weird shit, too, like, well, Monk would say, let's play in a minor key. But no one would ever hit the third. You know, third's a flat minor or something. That's trippy stuff. I think those cats... there's a lot of parallels in some ways. When Raymond started bringing me those gigs, I saw the ones who survived and as older men up at Catalina's and Jazz Bakery. And I seen some similarities. Like, they did it because not really a big acceptance. They just was lover. And John Coltrane, as he did say, he thought all musicians were after some kind of truth. So that was cool. And then we did something. Now, you know, this is sir.
Right. I was liking the story. I was like what you're saying. I just really started. And I'm listening. You know, I was more hung up on that.
Song. That's
a
nice song.
Yeah. I mean,
it's got a message. It's called I'm Still Alive.
Yeah.
So and I guess it's from a demo because I don't remember you guys coming out with a record.
It was
John Coltrane doing Love Supreme. See, that's his thank you. Doing a radio show, though, so sorry.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I just started listening to a lot of that stuff. I just little I just started listening, like digging through stuff, listening to like a lot of jazz stuff and fooling around and just kind of listening.
Yeah, I owe Pettibone so much. He played in the Ascension. I'm from Navy Housing. I didn't
right, right.
And I thought he was an older guy, but I thought he was a punk rocker. I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that crazy stuff, that feeling was. And then he starts bringing me the gigs, and oh, yeah, these are older. Oh, yeah, this is from the late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
Got a little more loose in the 60s, but after that's fusion. Anyway, that didn't really get me. I saw the Model Houston Orchestra. That was really good. I mean, somebody who left girly text.
Yeah.
It was girly text.
Well, no, what started me, I'll tell you how I got started. Chet Baker is how I got started. So I started with that.
Beautiful
I used to play when one of my daughters was just little, she's just a baby, I put on Chet Sings, and then I just hold my daughter, and I just sing to her, you know, because I like his voice, too.
Oh, great singer.
You know, and so I just play that record, so that's what kind of got me going into it. Then I started moving into Miles, and I was just listening to, I can't remember the name, the piano player, Bill Evans, is that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
what is it? Miles said his favorite white guy, maybe because he's Canadian.
So he's
Miles in that Quincy Troop book, he's so intense.
Yeah, like, yeah, I started listening, you know, just moving around. Because I like it, you know, I like it. But it takes time. Like, for me, no one ever sat me down. Like, we were talking about this earlier, about writing or whatever. I'm not a cat that's aware, you know. Like, if you point something out to me and say, hey, Jack, look at this angle. And then I'll look at the angle and I say, oh, I see the angle here and here and here and here and here and here. Once I'm turned on to it, then I can see it. It was the same with writing. Mm. Somebody explained to me, hey, this is how this goes. I go, oh, I see it. And then I wrote a novel. Like, you know, so there was the same with jazz. I started getting into it. It's like, oh, I see now. Now I can hear. Now, but it wasn't until somebody pointed it out to me. I can't...
Well, can we take this freaky sitch? Vicious Circle. How'd you get into that? And the point he showed you the angle.
Sorry, I took this angle.
You know what we thought in those days? We didn't think it was a real band. We thought it was just dudes and beat up dudes. At parties.
Well, when I started playing, we didn't know what was going on. We just stole some instruments. Like before Vicious Circle, we had this other band, right? It was this band called Johnny Coathanger. It was two.
Johnny Coathanger.
Yeah. So we had two strings on the guitar. So we just took it down to two strings and a drum, and we just hit and play. And that's how we got into it. You know?
Okay.
That's how it started. And then.
Is there tapes of this?
I don't know if there are, but there was a practice tape of Vicious Circle that got out.
That's what I got.
And the violence thing, you know, sometimes it's a real unfair rap from that, because I'm a total hardcore, like a socialist, man.
I was talking about those days you heard.
But I'm even saying in those days,
yeah.
Because the violence at the time was always directed outside. It wasn't inside.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a total...
I never felt that from T.S. Well.
No.
I thought there was a...
But this were guys.
In your book, you talk a little bit about.
You bet, that. Yeah, because there were guys at that. Well, you know as well as I do. Back then, when you saw somebody with crazy colored hair or a tattoo or something, you'd pull over and you'd say, "Hey, what are you into, man? Yeah. Like to me, it was such a big family.
Sure.
Like I still, it was always family to me. Mm-hmm. Like I was bummed when someone said something bad about us being from Huntington. I was hurt. It's like, hey, I'm your family. I'm here. You know, you come into my town, and if somebody says something to you or harasses you, I'm on it. Yeah. I don't know you, but I'm on it.
I wrote a song. There was, I don't know if you remember this time, but people writing letters to Flipside about who's got the real take on the trip. And it's all of a sudden Minutemen and TSOL are proxies in a bitch fight.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this song called Fake Contest, which was directed at kids. It was so silly because, of course, thanks, Watt. That was good. Yeah. It's all good now. Just nice letters.
But that was what the violence, that's what it came from, guys beating up punks. So then we're like, hey, wait a minute, dude. I'm 6'3 and not an ounce of fat on me, and come from a military family where it was like, hey, I was getting my ass kicked with a belt every day. It's like, now you're going to come bring it.
You know, come at clothes.
Yeah. It's like,
and then how many years later were they painting their fingernails?
Right. That's it. You know, wearing dresses and that kind of stuff, and just, you know, it's like real confrontational.
I try to tell people about those days that things change so quick. And by the time the '90s plateaus out, things change very slow now.
Yeah.
Some ways it's good because more open mind and tolerant.
I don't know if it. Yeah, I don't know.
Some ways kind of not as exciting.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder. It's like, you know, and we were talking about that too. I was at some, you know, when he's saying he'd give a talk or whatever. You know, and I'm like, man, look, you got the Minutemen sound like the Minutemen. Flag sounds like Black Flag. Mm-hmm. Circle Jerks sound like Circle Jerks. There was way more under that umbrella. You know, you got the Go-Go's punk band. Walla Voodoo was on Bill.
Bad Brains.
You know,
Walla Voodoo, right.
You know,
Suburban Lodge.
Yeah, Suburban Lodge. Hey, and that, you know, that's what really got me. That's what sold me. I saw the plugs at Suburban Lodge's little...
Practice pens.
Yeah.
Dactionaries played two gigs.
Right. All right.
Okay. Magnolia and Anaheim.
You bet. Magnolia and Anaheim. So I wanted in. So I'm going there. I'm a kid going to high school Kager parties. You know, I don't know anything. You know, I'm listening to the music a little bit, you know, but Rodney's show maybe or whatever, you know, and listening.
I think Rhino was playing then.
Rhino, yeah, because they went to the same high school, those guys, you know.
But they also knew about the Mask and...
All that, yeah. And I'd gone up to the Mask or whatever, but, you know, kind of hanging out. So I'm at this Suburban Lawns gig. And I open up this door. It's like in a house, right? You're kind of playing in the living room or whatever the hell. So I open this door, and there were the plugs. Like, I open the dressing room. So now I'm in the dressing room, right? And I look and go, oh, sorry, guys, sorry. And Barry from the plugs goes, oh, don't worry about it, man. Come on in, kid. Have a beer. And I thought, oh, man, this is how it's supposed to be. It's like no one in charge of anybody, no backstage, no this rock star attitude. Oh, everything's out of it. I'm like, this is what I've been looking for. This is like family, you know? Beautiful. And that's what it felt like. And, you know, today I had these guys call
me. Yeah, we're missing that fabric for sure.
It's gone.
For sure.
It's gone. For it's sure. Like completely. I had these guys call me from a band and, they call me and they say, hey, can you get us in the back door of the club because we don't want to walk through the crowd? And I'm like, man, fuck you. Right, sorry about that. But, you know, really, just I just hung up on them and just said, fuck you. You know, it's like, and, you know, when I go out and tell these kids, it's like, hey, we're here because, you know, we owe you. You support us. You come out, you pay money, you pay your team. Mm. We owe you everything.
Jack, you're talking about values and ethics here.
Let's not go that far, Juan.
I like it. I don't know about it. Let's play some music.
Thank you. some fish, Mama. I'm as hungry as can be. Oh, Lordy, how I wish, Mama, you could keep the baby quiet, 'cause my head's killing me. I seen my ex last night, Mama, at a dance at Miller's store. She was with that Jackie White, Mama. I killed them both, and they're buried under Jenkins' sycamore. Don't you think I'm psycho, Mama? You can pour me a cup. If you think I'm psycho, Mama, better let them lock me up. Don't hand the dog to me, Mama. I might squeeze him too tight. And I'm as nervous as can be, Mama. But let me tell you about last night. I woke up in Johnny's room, Mama, standing right by his bed, with my hands near his throat, Mama, wishing both of us was dead. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? I just killed Johnny's pup. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? You better let him lock me up. You know the little girl next door, Mama. I think her name is Betty Clark. Oh, don't tell me that she's dead, Mama. Why, I just seen her in the park. She was sitting on a bench, Mama, thinking up a game to play. Seems I was holding a wrench, Mama, then my mind walked away. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? Didn't mean to break your cup. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? Mama, Mama, why don't you get up? Say something to me, Mama. Mama, why don't you get up?
Said I do it by myself. I don't trust nobody else. I'd rather do it by myself. When no one sees and no one tells. Ain't looking for no codependent. Ain't trying to have no one witness. I'll take this mud and make it home. 'Cause dirt is dumb when you're alone.
Do my dirt off my lonely. Mountains reaching in the sky. Cactus flowers in the desert noon.
She was so mean.
How mean?
the city, my father got a job at the Screwworks, where they made screws. But he died at his machine. He dozed off, fell into the threader, and was threaded to death. And when they found him, he was unrecognizable because his body was covered with ridges. He had a point at one end and a slot at the top of his head. He was buried on the hottest day of the year. Job at the electricity plant. I lit the candles. Yes, they sold all the electricity they made, so they had no electricity left for their own power. But they were ashamed and took out all the windows. This way, no one would know there was no electricity in the electricity factory, and the employees could work by candlelight in peace. Station. One night, a man drove in backwards because his headlights were broken. He'd been driving by the light of his taillights all the way from Phoenix for hundreds of miles. But when he tried to get out of the car, his neck was so stiff he couldn't turn his head around, and he was still looking over his right shoulder. A minute later, another man drove in a car with only two front tires. The rear fenders scraping along the pavement made a terrible noise. He told me he'd had two flats on the same day 3 months ago and hadn't gotten around to changing them. Luckily, he had front-wheel drive. It wasn't too bad, except the car was tilted back and he had a hard time seeing over the hood. Well, these two men had an accident in the filling station, and they both got out of their cars. But the man with the stiff neck could only talk with his back turned to the other man, looking over his shoulder at him. And the other man was insulted and was screaming at the top of his lungs because the scraping noise of the fender, over months of driving, had caused him to lose almost all of his hearing. And the man who'd driven backwards couldn't understand why he was screaming at him. Actually, it was just a small scrape. Almost no damage. They ended up driving off together in the same car. A few years later, they sent me an invitation to the opening of their beauty salon in Tangiers. I was lost on an elevator. All the floors were the same. Then I realized the elevator was moving horizontally. So I tried another elevator, the express. But it just got me more lost faster. People kept getting on and getting off. They were all wearing green gauze over their heads and were smoking ice cream cones. I said, "Please let me off at 39th Street." And the conductor said, "This is 35th Street. You'll have to walk three blocks and take the escalator." But when I got to the escalator, it was just a phone booth. So I made a call. I called my father. I said, "Hello, I'm lost on 39th Street looking for an escalator and I can't find it anywhere. And he said, I'll be right there. And there he was. And the phone booth started moving forward very slowly with my father and I in it, and I didn't know where it was going or why. And he said, don't be afraid. This phone booth will take us home. And I said, but we have no home. And he said, we live on the 8th floor, apartment Y. And I said, why? And he said, yes. Well, my father has always smoked Chesterfields. And right in the middle of this small, unventilated phone booth, he lit up an entire pack. He put the entire pack in his mouth and started to smoke. And I said, you're smoking a whole pack of Chesterfields. And he said, yes, I smoke a pack a day. And I said, a whole pack? Yes, I can't give it up. Shop in Tampa. I'll marry an attractive divorcee, a clerk in a department store selling beauty products. She'll be tired of sleeping with people in motels that are so well lit outside you can never get the room dark enough. We'll sit in the backyard of our trailer, on those chairs with straps on them, next to a chipped bird bath. We'll grow old together. Then, one day, I'll get a hernia when I'm fishing in my small boat and hook a cinder block. She'll turn to her savior, who has snake hips, is quite lean, blonde, a pretty fair surfer, has a beautiful tenor voice, plays the pedal steel guitar, and would take her with him to Mexico if she'd only let him. Visit the Ringling Brothers winter home for retired animals and watch lions and elephants wearing bathrobes and tattered slippers strolling on the beach. I'll walk along the shore, climb up on a cliff, and think about my life.
Watch the Pedro Show. We heard You Don't Have to Die.
Oh, okay.
Another demo, right?
Yeah, with the English accent,
yeah. Well, you know, there's been a thing with some bands like that. But with you, it was just a phase.
That's all I listened to. I didn't know. Once again,
Did somebody point that out to you?
Yeah, okay. Later on. But even Iris gives me shit. You know, Iris, yeah. She gives me shit for it because she's... Because even when I'm writing, she'll go, you're so proper. It's like everything is so proper with you.
Well, you know, when Charlie Parker wanted to have fun with his guys, he'd always break into the English accent. And Miles in the book hates it. Yeah. Here he goes with that goddamn teabag. Okay. And then Eddie Nowak with Psycho. That's got to be one of the weirdest country songs ever. 1960. I guess he saw the movie Psycho. But usually you don't hate Mama. You know? Don't let me hold Jimmy's... puppy, because I might squeeze too tight. You know, it's like, fuck. I thought that mixed good to that demo. And then NATO Face with How Dirt Is Done, Stick Sellers with God Out West, Faye, Sister K, Frog Hair, Where She Came to Go, Pyle, Prom Song, and finally, Joe Frank with Memories.
Oh, we Joe lost Frank, Joe Frank money. Yeah.
Remember we were talking with him, with Phil Friday.
Right. Saturday. Right. Yeah, man.
Because remember, it saved him from that depression 15 years ago? And the cancer killed him 2 days ago.
Man.
Now, in the 80s, you ever hear this cat? He's just using spiel, some background music, calls up his friends, you know, get them to riff on things, records the things, and makes these stories, these mind movies. that are really intense. They can get very uncomfortable to listen to because, he's framing a situation and he's like, whoa! And really in the 80s, I guess he went through four or five series, but his first one was called Work in Progress that I heard. I guess he was in New York City for a little while, but he came out here and was doing them. It'd be right, Harry Shearer had a show on Sundays. Mm. I think it was called Late Show.
Yeah.
Right? The guy who does... Big Bottom. Right? Derek Smalls. And, this guy, Joe Frank, I think he had some weird kind of ailment where if he didn't take a medicine every hour and a half, he'd puke his brains out. Huh. So there's always this impending, like, uh-oh. And so it just rubbed off on his artwork. So people check out Joe Frank, just like it sounds, J-O-E-F-R-A-N-K, joefrank.com. And there's stuff up on youtube.com. And check out his things. Maybe it might be a little tedious for you. But if you got some patience, check him out. We're at the end of the first hour. Already, that was a good spiel. January 17, 2018, Fish and Wife Pedro Show. Special guest, Jack Christian. Hold tight for hour two. January 17, 2018 is second hour. What for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
some kind of nerve here.
Christine sometime in 1999 in New York City, discussing underground culture and the future of the music industry. But the moment I'm remembering my friends is Chris considering would he do it all again if he were 15 now, thinking the system needs a smacking. Would he pick up a guitar or take up computer hacking? At the time I thought this cynical and bitter with regret. For him the punk age over, I quickly went forget. Rock and roll used to change people's minds, but does the power of three chords belong to another time? I had dinner with Chris Stein one night in 1999 in New York City, contemplating our own cultural irrelevance and the future of the music industry. I was arrogant, I assumed I'm out of touch with the tingle of my spine, music still moving me so much. Now years have passed, we made our payment at a premium, and all the revolutionaries went to work in other mediums, creating cryptocurrencies and pattern recognition, disrupt the status quo just like rock and roll musicians. I had dinner with Chris Stein sometime in 1999 in New York City. Now I can admit that he was right, but I still play guitar. Yeah, it still lives in me, and I know that it must live in Chris Stein too. Something fierce, something primal, something reaching out for you. Is it one or the other? Do I have to pick a side? Is it digital subversion or rock and roll suicide? Does magic have its moment? Does every moment have its time? I had dinner with Chris Stein one night in 1999.
Count. He's a count. He's noble, a noble person. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, we start off the second hour with Tender Fury doing Look Back in Anger. I think Roger Bowie song and Carlos Alomar. I remember meeting Carlos Alomar because the Nehru suits and the...
Yeah, great.
But he had like some street food, man, from the Spanish Harlem. You know, like, it was very cool. Yeah. Goes, can you see my scarf, man? My wife will kill me if I don't find my scarf. And I was like, whoa. Like, she's never the cover, the book in the cover thing. Don't get caught up in that stuff, people.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hut Sale played for a little bit at the last year, the Tender Fury.
Right.
Because in the band chronology, Jack Grisham is... there was Johnny Coathanger.
Moving around. Yeah.
Right. And then this is Circle, then TSOL, and now Tender Fury, which has got to be one of the most intense band names. Who thought that one of?
It came out of romance novels. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the last record. But, okay. But whatever. I mean, the last Tender Fury record's great. If Anger Were Soul, I'd be James Brown. It was actually a great, at the time, because that's when I really woke up and said, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And the way I wrote music and everything changed after that.
Okay, yeah. The thing about the 80s stuff, it's even on the last Minutemen record, some of this production, man, this corny snare drum sound. Pow! Pow! It just dates these things. It's like the haircut, the lady haircuts. If you watch an 80s movie, the way that comes out, like poodle kind of shit. Yeah. You know, and the dudes, too. But it's more like
lots
a
of spray.
Mullet. It's
lots
like,
of spray.
Yeah, lots of spray. And maybe sculpting when they're doing it. You know, like hedge clip?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, that's why you don't let them grow out too much, maybe, because the arms
fit the mold.
Then we heard Breakfast Cowboy out of Portland with These Are Violins. Ben Lee, brand new. Dinner with Chris Stein. The Fofico Band. This is a Greek band. This guy's in his late 40s. I want to learn bass. So he does it. Makes a band. See, the movement's still alive.
Yeah.
A little bit. Count Dracula. I think I'm going to write a song called Count Dracula. Okay, and then Spot, he was on the show last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Right. Goes with Gelatinous. With the blues theme. And finally, Cathedral of Tears, Together Alone. I guess this was a demo.
That was a demo, yeah.
And Cathedral of Tears is the fourth.
Well, Cathedral of Tears before Tender Fury.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so it kind of switched.
Why fucked up, people?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a mess.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
They switch up, because one's 83 and one's 88. 87?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess there's a little more synthesizer with Cathedral of Tears, and maybe a little more of that
snare
drum.
Yeah.
But I like both bands.
Yeah.
I mean, the outfits were interesting. But, man, we always looked at it as you were coming up, even starting with the second TSOL album, you were trying to shake shit up.
Right.
I was like the deck. Things were getting too uniform, too same-o.
Yeah, I didn't like it from the day one. I always had a problem with that. It's like, you know, whatever.
No, but your reaction was artistic, so you did it with these bands.
And the Cathedral of Tears thing, it's like, get away from me.
Yeah.
I don't want you liking me. I don't want you looking up to me. I just got on this talk about these guys today about this. There was there's this program going on where these guys are putting men ahead of other men. It's like, look, I don't know, man. No. I don't want that. I don't want somebody looking at me for an answer or looking at me for this or leader or whatever. It's like shoulder to shoulder all here, you know, whatever. Heavy socialism. That's how I grew up. It's like that's whatever got that implanted in my mind.
Everybody's got to say this.
Right. Right.
And no hierarchy.
Right. So leave me alone. And the minute somebody starts to put, you know, admiration or anything on me, I just walk away. No thanks. I'm going to go do this. So, and then when you start liking this, I'm going to I'm out of this.
Yeah, because that's where a lot of corruption. Yeah. People take advantage of a position. I think this is a big problem right now, right, where we're having sisters. And there's been a lot of corruption because people take advantage of position. So if you don't give them a position in the first place.
That's right. And it's so easy to, all it takes is one or two guys deferring to you a couple times. That's it. Just one or two guys. Well, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you go, here's what I think about this.
Yeah.
And they say, yeah. They say, yeah.
What did you think about John Doe asking you? Hey, why don't you tell the people what you think about this?
I was surprised he liked it.
No, but didn't you think it was a better idea of him trying to work out the whole scene?
You're talking about just to talk about getting the people...
Well, like
people
he gave me a chap,
I thought you meant specifically asking my point of view on it, which was different.
Did he give you some instructions? He gave me one instruction.
He didn't give me it.
He gave me one. He said, talk about the knuckleheads.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Well, he didn't, and I
which
guess.
Which was my last chapter. You know, the best line from your chapter is, don't blame us, you started it.
But that's the truth.
I know, totally.
And here's what's like fucking crazy. This is what drives me crazy. Remember the PMRC and all that going
on? Oh, yeah.
Okay, but look, they're saying, so here they've got, they're saying, you know, watch the lyrics change people, you know, the lyrics make these people do this. And all these bands are saying, our words don't mean nothing. Our words don't make anybody do anything. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Look at the Constitution. Look at the Bible. Look at the written word. The written word changes people. So to say, I can say this and it has no effect on anyone, is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No,
like,
I'm trying to cut loose responsibility.
Right, and so Joe's singing, these guys are singing all these songs, so here I'm some kid in the suburbs, you know, and I'm hearing, you know, bodies, I'm not an animal, not as yet.
She was still away.
White boy. Whatever the hell's going on. So I'm like taking it in, going, yeah. And I'm just going, here's this, you know, here's a sea cucumber getting their total sponge sucking this up.
Yeah.
And then I take it and put it on the streets, and then these guys come and complain. It's like, I remember when the police showed up. So here's everyone's talking about, you know, anti-police. And then they show up to break up a show, and so I grab a bottle and attack. And then they get mad at me for attacking the police that they're shit-talking. It's like, wait a minute, you're the one putting this shit-talk into my mind, and then they show up, and I'm in. And now you're mad at me for defending you when you were crying about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the craziest
Martin
thing.
Luther.
You know?
Right, Martin Luther translates the Bible, the people go off, and he goes, no, I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And goes in with the princes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So it's like words do influence people,
they
and
did.
That's what I was
but
telling
you.
But
you got, it was bitching that John Doe gave you the word back, so you could have your say. Now, what I didn't dig, did you did read, of course,
yeah,
I heard
it. Yeah.
Man, when I went to read mine, I couldn't do it because the motherfucking editors went in there. Did they change your shit?
Not too much. They're pretty good because I'm writing all the time.
Okay,
so they're close.
Well,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But DeCapo told me, you know what you do want is poetry. That's not right. Man, I couldn't believe it. The guy came down here to pitch me an autobiography.
Yeah.
But you, not you. You can't write a lot. It's got to be ass told to because what you do is poetry.
Well, and there's the difference. I mean,
boy, what a sell! I see. Well, fuck you very much.
And there's the difference that I have to, you know, this.
Well, it's not a difference, but you know about us getting censored. It's
yeah.
From a tradition.
Oh, I can't.
Like the fruit flag.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I was surprised. Like I did this novel, like American
sure.
Demon. I did this thing.
It's kind of bio.
Yeah, it's like kind of bio. A little dark bio, whatever it is, man. But they said, hey, we want you to write it. And they wouldn't let somebody come in and help. They just said, we want you to write it. Wow. And I'd never written anything more than a 50-word song. Mm. I had no idea, man.
And that's poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
And no periods there. There's no commas.
Yeah, and then they say, hey, wait a minute. There's no... And then they say there's no something in here. Like something's missing out of the sentence.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to tell you. What one of your words. What in English. Something like, you know, about predicates. Like, whatever it is.
Subject.
And they go, oh, well, you got nothing. I go, I don't even know what that is.
You're dangling modifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know. Okay. So I just got asked by this company to write a foreword for some dude, and I said no. And I love this guy. Because I didn't want people fucking with it. I don't know. I felt abused by my... I couldn't even read it. Well, the way I write is I use pauses, commas for pauses.
Sure.
So when I saw these commas all these fucking places where they weren't, I couldn't read it. I had to stumble book. So okay, maybe
dashes.
I'm the weak link. Jack.
Use dashes. Dashes. They get on me about dashes.
Yeah.
I use a dash because it's like I talk like that.
Right.
So in the middle of a sentence...
You're a hyphenated man.
Right. So I'll dash and I'll go into another sentence.
Sure.
But look, that's why I speak. You know, and
because you write conversationally, the same way I do.
And Truman Capote, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Capote says he reads so well live to read it out loud because it's written conversationally. It's written, you know.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
No, there's an outtake of Orson Welles trying to read some commercial.
I love it. I've heard it.
It's
just
still peas.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is
there's
it?
A certain fjord in Norway.
Right. Yeah. The producer comes into the booth. Hey, who is that? I work with one man. One man. And then he goes to the engineer. I mean, this stuff, it kind of You can write it down, but it doesn't. Look, I'll go down on you if this works. I'll go down on you, man.
And he said, and the guy goes, and it's, he says, that's proper English here. And he goes, I don't care.
I don't care.
Shit. One time I met him at Pete's.
Oh, no way. Seriously? Yeah.
Peachy way.
Yeah.
He got chili dog in each hand. I go, Mr. Wells. He goes, young man, I would shake your hand, but I am busy.
But I read stuff, and I find that, you know, I shoot a lot of photos, too. Yeah. Now I've been getting into shooting a lot of photography, too. And I'll see guys, and technically, they're correct. But it's not good. There's no soul in it.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And you see writers.
You're right. I've referred to something called fusion before.
Yeah. But it's the same thing with music. Yes, technically, that is correct. But there's no life in it, man. It's like that's why
form and sterile.
Well, just working with Rasta, I came off the grid now. We don't do anything more on the grid anymore. I'm done doing that. It's like no, it's got to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, it's just got to breathe. And you know, of course.
Speaking of breathing, yeah. You got to let Brother Matt do the fucking spin cycle. Bring it, Brother Matt.
Cool.
We'll be right back. traffic. Hallucinated semen where the grass flashing on the turnip cunt. Forgot themselves for sex visions stolen from gaping purses and cracked briefcases, only to remember painful visage and hidden lust in the end. Down the steps and through the turnstile. Corridor. The corridor. Searching for a sacred high. Smoking in a mystic trash can.
Shot to see it through and not wait out at the end. gift extending government no shutdown the internet, crashes out
the state of Rabun Ministry, America,
but that seems to be having a chill effect. Already a million people in the streets have called for a million-person march, and Egyptians have answered in huge numbers.
And while the U.S. government is officially not taking sides
to the state of Rabun Ministry, America,
but that seems to be having a chill effect. Already a million people in the streets have called for a million-person march, and Egyptians have answered in huge numbers.
And while the U.S. government is officially not taking sides in this crisis, we certainly have a lot riding on the outcome.
أيها الإخوة المواطنون، إن خيط الرفيع يفصل بين الحرية والفوضى.
Thank you so much for doing what you did. Why did you do what you just did to us here?
Well, I was tripping on that alarm the people in Hawaii had to deal with thinking the bomb's coming.
Right.
That was trippy. Yeah. And then I just stumbled on all these World War III songs started coming at me, so it seemed like it was meant to be.
Like a battle vibe.
Yeah. Like that's be at five or six by now, though.
Yeah,
three seems like you missed that and just moved on. Yeah, 3.5 or something.
What about what we were talking about? Revisionism.
Revisionist history. Yeah, especially in punk rock. Sometimes I get mad. You know, somebody was calling me because I copped at being an asshole and doing stuff that was unsavory. Let's say that's a polite word for it. It's unsavory and. You know, but what makes me mad is, you know, I get into it sometimes with this culpability of admitting wrongs and right and whatever the hell we're doing, you know.
Sure.
And a lot of people look at this thing like the early punk scene was so idealistic, and it's like, look, man, it didn't attract great people. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, think back. It's like, these weren't solid, you know. There's a lot of stuff.
But there were some qualities, but yeah, lacking in others.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of foul behavior going on.
Well, you have a scene with no rules.
Exactly. And
one thing. People don't remember that. Yeah. Like, there wasn't some desk you checked in at, and people brought whatever they had, man, did people bring what they had.
Yeah, and I found that once I got a taste of a little something, once you break a little something, like there's, let's say there's some moral code.
Yeah.
And you violate it just a little bit, well, it gets easier to take another step and violate it just a little bit more. Yeah. You know,
balls
and,
out. John Messiah.
Which happened, you know. And,
John Messiah.
Exactly. And a lot of people. And so I sit up today and say, hey, I did this and this. I did these behaviors that weren't good. And so people go, oh, what an animal. This guy did this and this. Like, wait a minute. I'm not the only one that did it. I'm just the only one to admit it. You know, all these other guys he got on these pedestals, man. Let's go back. And, you know, I wasn't the one that brought division into this punk rock scene. You know, it's like, or brought doctrine into it. That all of a sudden said, hey, we're going to go by this law. It's like, wait a minute, man. I didn't sign up for that.
Man, that was suffocating. That was so suffocating. We're at the end of the second hour, January 17th. Getting ahead of myself, brother. 2018, special guest Jack Grisham, hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
January 17, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
nation, whatever will be, will be. But I don't know what will happen to me.
Sorry, Daryl.
For Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with What You Are Is a God by the Joy Killer. Now, Joy Killer is the fifth one?
Yeah, whatever it is.
But Joy Killer, again, you know, all these bands we're talking about, they don't repeat themselves. They're all different trips.
Yeah, it was just experiment.
You got Jack the Singer, okay. But you put different things, motifs, lyric,
right.
All kinds of the guys.
Yeah,
it's not the same guys in all these bands, you know. And I found the Joy Killer very interesting too. Just another dimension in your thing. How did you look at it?
Well, it's
it was
similar.
90s, right?
I just wanted to fiddle around with, like, feel what can we do? What can we try? It's like, mm-hmm. Trouble is, my problem is I'm limited as a vocalist. I'm not really a great vocalist, so it's like.
Well, I like you, Sid.
Thanks, man. That was very nice. Thank you. But it's I've never been happy with me. So, but just kind of fooling around, like, whatever, it's just a... Then I start getting into some side trip, like, that What You Are as a God is about parents and what we do to these children, and we're the first deity that these kids run into.
Oh, the molders.
So, and that's what it is. It's like, you know, when I was talking about how they had shaped me, you know, let's beat them, let's infuse racism, let's infuse this, let's do this, do this, do this. So, my whole life's been unlearning what was jumped into me, you know, and so I'm going to take this, and... And a part of that, what you are as a God is, you know, I tell guys all the time, it's easier to build a God than it is to deconstruct one. You know, it's like so ingrained. And
sure.
And so then in the Joy Killer, it's just fooling around with sounds. And when that song came out, we were doing samples. We were sampling. We had a rap guy laying samples down for us.
Right.
So we're experimenting in areas that, at the time, nobody had done. Even the last Tender Fury record, we were using samples and loops and
stuff.
And they weren't being used. And, you know, and punk rock music, whatever the hell it is. So just kind of experiment.
Yeah, but that's a good point. Is punk rock really a music?
No.
Or is, yeah.
Yeah, let me answer that quick. No, no.
You know what I mean? Because almost every band has their own idea. Right?
Yeah, attitude. You know, I mean, that's... And then what? How do we define the attitude? How do you
that's
define
right.
that? Because everybody has their
well,
own
I
idea.
Think, like, the safe bet... Did you leave it up to the band? But I don't know.
Yeah.
No. You know, we talk about safe bets, right? Cynicism, But come on, it ain't all the way. If you were really cynical, you'd have to be skeptical. Maybe cynical. But you'd have to be cynical or skeptical of that thought.
Right.
School, right? So you only go halfway, you know, it's a word game.
I start out getting that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a, you know,
word game.
Call it oppositional defiance disorder. I'll come up with a thought and then argue on it.
Wait a minute.
You just came up with this.
Dwarf Star by David Gerard out of Massachusetts. No Eyes, TVT. Everyone is dirty. They just play with some Strong Beach. Journeyman Plumber. Mouthpiece. No H, right? These guys are from Ireland, so it's Mouthpiece. Tony Delroni. That's a song name. A guy to buy voices with goodbye note. You're going to do a talk, do you already got prepared or do you come into the room and size it up?
No, nothing. Nothing.
So you wait till you're there. So you're
well, not even that. It's no thought. Then
well, but you're gonna vibe though on what's going on inside the room that you. Yeah.
No, nothing. Well, no, it's like I got this thing I do. It's I pretend that I'm in the desert.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing, and I'm laying in the sand.
Yeah.
And that the wind's just blowing through the body. So anytime a thought comes up, I just let it blow through. Because if somebody, you know, and then I just get up and just start talking. Just whatever. Because I'm not intelligent enough to figure out a plan. It's going to all be subconscious.
But then also in the moment, you're not reacting to what's going on either. You're just this...
Subconscious. It's complete
Like read...
Yeah. One time I looked over, they were doing, you know, they get the, what do you call it, the interpreters, the sign interpreters. Yeah. I was looking over the sign interpreter trying to figure out what I just said. I don't really know what just went down over there. Could you play that back?
Did you hear about this one? People, you can't see it, but I'm doing the
horns.
Yeah, Ronnie Jane Dio. Gene Simmons tried to copyright this.
Oh, yeah.
In sign language, it means I love you, so sorry.
It is ward off the evil eye. Because you always wonder when the statue's in there, they're holding their hand up. Yeah,
it's the evil eye. Yeah. It's the evil eye.
Why not?
Greeks were way into that. But even in the, you know, this kind of talking with the sign hands.
He's got soft hands. I bummed him out. I bummed him out one night. I was speaking to Hunt. I was with Hunt, and we were doing some recording or whatever, and Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley were in there, and so Hunt goes, "Hey, Hunt, you know," he goes, "Hey, Gene, you know Jack," and he goes to shake my hand, and his hand was so soft, and there was no, it's like shaking a cotton ball, and I recoiled, you know what I mean? Because I didn't mean to recoil. Like, oh, hey, I was like, you know, the killer, this, I breathe fire for you. It's like, yeah, you may breathe fire for me, man, but you got soft hands, guy.
That's what we're gonna do. I got a story about him that was trippy. I'll tell one time. Maybe not that. But it's kind of like on that soft hand level in a way.
Yeah.
But he was actually very nice to me.
Oh, he's nice to me.
Because I heard these other stories that he's not a nice set of people.
He was nice. He just had soft hands.
Yeah.
And I just tripped out because, it's like when you meet someone, they're way smaller and you think, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought, I had this idea in my head.
The Blue Oyster Cult guys. Yeah.
You know, it's like,
they were like, well, we saw the mic. We thought they had microphones for their acoustic. I thought they were going to do acoustic show.
Yeah, yeah.
They're muscle mics. One of them had pants that was so little that they didn't bend at the knee. I was like, whoa. We went and looked at that On Your Feet or On Your Knees album at home, and you look at it, and the guitars are huge. They were always tiny. You just didn't notice.
Yeah.
Like, Darren's album, where's that gloves on, right? His guitar, and the guitar's like this huge.
Yeah, he was a little guy. So in Tasmanese.
Yeah.
He was at Tasmanese one night.
Really?
Just little.
I remember him doing a wrestling records in the album. Let's just hear some more music.
Everything will work out tonight. I'm the man that she needs, and I'm sure. Thank you. sentimental mood. I can see the stars come through my room while your loving attitude is like a flame.
Mood. I'm within a world
Watt from Pedro Show. Last music, The Love Letter from The Manic Glow, which I played a lot on the show. And maybe the most recent record you've been doing, Jack?
Well, I did this Trigger Complex, this TSWell record, this last record, which is, it gets great reviews. It's great. I was going to bring you a copy, and I just...
TSWell has a new album.
Yeah. Well, okay. It actually came out in January, and it's great. Did it at Paul's place. Just let it feel. Let it flow.
Paul Ross, for people, he was not original screamer, but very close, and he's Kay's brother.
Yeah.
I've known him a while, and he's a beautiful man, and he runs a studio downtown called Robot Kitten.
Kitten Robot. Kitten I Robot, officiated his last wedding.
That's right. With the younger person.
Yeah. No, she's beautiful. Rachel's great. Yeah. Paul and Ray. I love working with Paul, man. I've never felt so comfortable working with somebody. You know, it's just real.
Well, you've been around the block.
Well, yeah, but it just lets you see what happens.
But he didn't get jaded.
So good.
He didn't get jaded, you know?
No.
He has the spark still. So you guys all came down here. Yeah, who you got drums? Is Greg still on the keyboard?
Greg's still on the keyboard. So it's just a new drummer, Antonio, this guy from the Valley. Good guy.
Okay.
You know, it's funny, he spent a year...
Mike and Ron, Greg,
everybody. Okay. Antonio spent a year and a half stationed in Baghdad. You know,
he gets with me, and sometimes I just start going off, right? He gets real shell-shocked. Like, come on! Get the fucking thing!
PTSD.
God damn it.
Yeah,
well, whatever.
You know, Mayo Townsend, right? Tom Watson played Red Quarrel a long time, and Mayo said he was talking to Cat Beefheart once. Yeah, Beefheart told him,
you know, when you're running a band, sometimes you gotta be Hitler.
And that's what Greg said to me. This record, this TSWell record we did, he came up to me and goes, hey, man. He goes, I know you don't like to do it, man, but we need you to be a dick on this one.
You know, Ry Cooder was on the first out, right? And then Monterey Pop Fest with Captain walks off stage. I mean, literally. Right? He's like, fuck this shit, I'm out. And then he said, you know, thinking back, it was a little brown shirt.
Yeah, well, when they come, enlightened.
Well, you need a runner man, maybe.
Sometimes you got to shoot. I mean, especially when you got these guys, you know, you got guys and everybody's got their own point of view. They're all going different. If it was his record, it'd sound one way. Somebody's got to say, look, no, we're rolling this way. This is what we got to do. I'm going to take the best of you and squeeze you, man.
Yeah.
I remember on a Joy Killer record, I got everybody in the studio and I said, hey, I just want to apologize for what I'm going to do to you. You know, like a pre-apology, you know. And I lived up to it. I hate it, but I fired on it. You know, dropping guitars, you know, just whatever. But in the end, you listen to it and go, okay, this is a bitch and I get it now. Like Billy Persons, bass player Billy Persons with the Weirdos.
Yeah, sure.
And Billy said to me, he goes, all right. He goes, I don't know what you're doing, man, but he goes, you're doing it with conviction, so I'm in.
You sold it. Okay. And then we had a lesson learned. Lecture Part 2 from Far in the South, Sentimental Mood, from Birds of Paradise. I think they're Canadians. Unit F with Comes a Day. And finally, Conformity Contortion with Between a Lock and a Guard's Mace. Okay. Jack, so you got this new album now. What's the next plan?
We're back in already recording again. We're doing a single right now.
Because it was last January.
It was last January we had that. Came out. It's got great reviews. That's good. The kids love it live.
I want to hear it.
It's cool. It's good. Real fun. And now we're just cutting another single right now. And then, you know, I'm doing a lot of photography and shooting a lot of photos and still writing and just, you know.
Wasn't there a movie thing?
Yeah, I did a little movie thing. It was all right. I learned some lessons. It's about learning.
Is it like the Germs movie?
That's expensive.
I'm afraid to see the Germs movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I wouldn't see it. Yeah. I don't know.
Even though, man, I love Pat. Yeah. Pat was into it so much, but something just like was like, whoa.
Yeah, you never know. I stick into straight fiction. It's just way better. Way better. Because it's all fiction anyway. We're talking about this. Like, who knows what really happened? You know,
not my story.
Yeah. Pick what went down. That's it.
I want to thank you so much for coming down.
Great having you.
Hey, I just got to keep working.
It's like when you get somebody
in a mental hospital, man. You got to get them making baskets or building shit. Or you got a problem. It's like, that's me. You got to get a pen in my hand or some music or a camera. We got an issue.
Okay.
If I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about the camera stuff on the radio, brother. But is there a place people on the web can find?
Yeah, Jack Grisham photo Instagram stuff. Or
okay,
whatever.
Go there, people, and check it out, because I've seen some of the stuff, and it's beautiful. It's righteous. It's, what do you call it? It's wet with feeling.
Yeah, a little gothic. And it's fun.
I feel wetness. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wetness.
I'm a horror man. Okay.
But thank you, you guys. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed
great
the show.
Having.
Yeah,
absolutely, nice. Brother Matt. Thanks for your always accentuating the event.
Certainly.
People, it's been January 17th, 2018 edition of the Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.